الحرمين هلون هلون فكربلا جموني بين الحرمين السنة السنة As soon as I reach you I'll wail and beseech you بين الحرمين So don't you say me If I go crazy When Zainab raised me Sakina train me Mourning for Hussein Salar Zainab Amir Hussainab Wa ni'am al-amir Wa ni'am al-amir Send me to Karbala, leave me there Send me to Karbala, leave me there Send me to Karbala, leave me there Leave me there Send me to Karbala, leave me there Send me to Karbala To Karbala, leave me there, leave me with Hussein, 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 Hussein. Hussein, Sakina After you she is Yatima Mother of Hussein, Fatima Watches over this arena When your neck was struck with the sword Hussein, Husseina, Fatima shed it And when your head was separated Hussein, Husseina, and raised from the spear And when the hands of your brother came back with no water And Abbas said his final farewell to Hussein, his master Karbala, how did you greet him? Karbala, how did you greet him? And when he fell, how did you meet him? And when Hussein needed the water, Al-Qami, why won't you feed him? Al-Qami, why won't you feed him? I'm calling Gonfaha's grandson. I'm calling Gonfaha's grandson. I'm falling on my knees and hands. I'm calling up to the one who Adam called walking through your land. Adam called walking through your land. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. Bain al-Haramain will lose my voice calling your name. Bain al-Haramain will lose my voice calling your name. I'm calling Hussein now. Beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now. Beating the chest to ease the pain. Bain al-Haramain will lose my voice calling your name. Bain al-Haramain will lose my voice calling your name. Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy. Karbala, Mawla, 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 Mawla. The son of Zahra, 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 Zahra. Martyred, martyred, martyred. Martyred, martyred, martyred. Martyred, martyred, martyred. Martyred, martyred, martyred. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. Bain al-Haramain, I will lose my voice calling your name. Bain al-Haramain, I will lose my voice calling your name. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. I'm calling Hussein now, beating the chest to ease the pain. Bain al-Haramain, I will lose my voice calling your name. Bain al-Haramain, I will lose my voice calling your name. Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy, Hussein, boy. Karbala, Mawla, 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 the son of Zahra.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us on this third lecture of our Arba'in program titled The Revolutionary Patients with Sheikh Usama Abdul Ghani and with Majalis with Brother Ali Jum'a. Inshallah, we'll get the program started with a recitation of the Holy Quran. I would like to have Brother Ali Hamdani join us. Please welcome him with loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بتغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
Jazakallah, Brother Ali. MashaAllah. Wonderful voice. May Allah increase in tawfiq, inshaAllah. Quick announcements, inshaAllah, before we get started. Tomorrow, inshaAllah, will be our last lecture as part of the four-day Arba'in lecture series. So, inshaAllah, we would like to have you join us with Salat, if you can, at 7:45. And the program, inshaAllah, will start right after Salat. The attendees, of course, as usual, are requested to keep adhering to the mask requirement and social distancing requirements. If anybody is interested in sponsoring any of the nights of the lecture series, please reach out to any of our volunteers or myself. We can help you with that. Now, I would like to request Brother Hassan Salami to come up to the podium here and recite some of his poetry. With salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our dear and respected Sheikh Osama, brothers and sisters, it is my honor to be amongst you again and Just a side note for the youth, I just wanted to say that whatever opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you to serve Imam al-Hussein are huge blessings and they should not be undermined. So whatever talents, abilities, things you can think of to serve the Imam of your time through the service of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, do not let that opportunity pass you by. And God knows when we will not have the ability and the blessing to serve Imam al-Hussein the next time. On that note, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. This poem is titled The March of Hussein. Why do we hate being stopped? Just the thought of it makes us feel trapped, makes us feel worthless. But these steps on these sands allow not just us, but the earth to know its purpose. Ground shaking through legs lifting and restating, a promise spoken through steps to reinvest this message into our chests. Take one of them towards God, and He takes 10 towards you. Take one of them towards God, and He takes 10 towards you. But here, that is multiplied to 72. 72 who remind us of what we all must do in the war between falsehood and truth. Every day is Ashura, and every land is Karbala, because Imam al-Hussein gave his life for you. His companions put their lives on the line so you could learn how to apply these lessons to your time. Saying Labbaik Ya Hussein is easy and safe confines. Saying Labbaik Ya Hussein is easy and safe confines, but difficult in the face of today's Yazidis committing the same crimes. So when you feel weak or scared, remember these steps as stairs where you ascend to divine station. Where all flags fall and created is one nation. Where all false idols are broken and tyranny is shaken. Where we gain the courage to stand against oppression. Created by the hypocrites who claim they are the leaders of freedom and human progression, this procession is a renewal of the pledge. To stand in the face of corrupt tyrants who use the name of God for worldly gain, while they simultaneously violate His commands and blaspheme His name, we seek peace. But even if we must stand against the world and suffer persecution and pain as they did on the 10th of Karbala's plains, for the truth, we must pledge our life. For the truth, we must pledge our life to not fear shooting stars and stripes or a Saudi knife, nor hijackers of the Star of David who claim to fight terror when they are the source of its creation, as they kill the true representatives of Abraham. And that is the same reason Abu Abdullah stood to save Islam, to ensure we do not crumble when put to the flame. And that our steps build inside of us an extinguishing wave. That our steps build inside of us an extinguishing wave that will drown the pharaohs and free the slaves. And that is why they fear the march of Hussein. And that is why they fear the march of Hussein. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
JazakAllah, Brother Hassan. Wonderful words, mashallah. Looking forward to your next material, inshallah, very soon. With that, I'd like to invite Shaykh to the podium with loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back to this year's lecture series, which has been titled Revolutionary Patience. This is the lesson that we learn from those heroes, from Sayyida Zainab, from Imam Sajjad, from those other heroes who taught us that if we are patient and have true iman, Allah can perform miracles through our hands. Now, before I begin tonight's talk, I'd like to mention two spiritual reminders, advice that we get from the Urafa. The first of them is regarding tomorrow. So tomorrow, inshallah, brothers and sisters, it's the time, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, to recite that short but beautiful ziyarah, which is the ziyarah of Arba'een. If you look in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, you'll see that we're told, Imam Askari says this, he says that there are five signs of the mu'min. Just to get an idea of how important these things are. Five signs of the mu'min, one of them is the ziyarah of Arba'een. So some of our brothers and sisters have the privilege, the honor of going. Others have that privilege and honor of serving. At the very least, for us to get the spiritual rewards, inshallah, we can recite that short ziyarah tomorrow. So that's advice from the Urafa. We don't want to lose the opportunity. The other one is this. This is also from the Urafa, and that is, I'll put it in my own words, thanking Allah for the privilege of being able to attend the majalis in person. Whether we're here, whether we're in other gatherings, but being here, present, in person, while we have the opportunity to listen to the greatest speeches, but sitting in the comforts of our homes. One of the sad effects of the pandemic was that for some of us, we got used to the idea of being at home and listening to majalis. But when you look at the words of the Urafa, they tell us among the many benefits, because one of the benefits with our presence is its ta'zim of the sha'air, glorifying the signs of God simply by being here, by wearing black, by attending the majalis. That's one, and that's from taqwa of the hearts. But the other ones are the spiritual benefits. One is attending the gatherings causes our sins to be forgiven by our presence. You may have heard at least part of this beautiful hadith from Imam Ridha where he says, Rahimallah abdan ahya amrana. When we attend these gatherings and we're reviving the affair of the Ahlul Bayt, the Imam has promised us that Allah, he prays that Allah have mercy on us. So what the Urafa say is that when we're attending these majalis in person, we're taking those steps towards spiritual perfection, kamal. Also, I want to take a moment to appreciate the poetry that was recited just now, and also the poetry that was recited on the first 2 days. And inshallah, tomorrow will also benefit from the poetry of the youth. It is so beautiful, and for me as a speaker, to come up after someone has connected the dots and received the message of Imam Hussein and put it in words for us all to remember. How wonderful is that? What a feat that is. I was listening to one of our senior scholars who was talking about this ziyarah of Arba'een. He said this, and this is a little scary. He said, if we fail to mention, when we're having, they're commemorating Arba'een, the Arba'een of Imam Hussein. He says, if we fail to mention the people of Yemen, the people of Palestine, the Mazlumin, then we've completely lost the point. He said, we're not Husseini. If it's just rituals, if it's not connecting the dots, if it doesn't lead us anywhere, if it doesn't lead us against the Shimmers and Yazids of the time, then there's something wrong. We have to be really careful about that. There are some who would introduce revolutionary Islam, the Islam of Imam Hussein, in such a way that it doesn't ruffle the feathers of the tawaghit. But you and I, and I'm saying this because we have a gathering of youth here, and because we're going to be in other places and other circles later, we have to be really careful that we don't fall into the trap of either ritualistic, backwards, sectarian Islam on one side, or secular Islam. Both of these are big threats. They're not that line of pure Islam, which is Muhammadi, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And it's sad to see when this gets normalized to the effect, to the extent that the people don't even protest. I don't know if I did. I'm sure I shared this with brothers and sisters. Allah gave me the tawfiq once, and I was able to perform the Hajj. Alhamdulillah, able to perform the Hajj. I'm there with my brothers and sisters from all over the world. Alhamdulillah, Allah granted us the tawfiq. We've performed those manasik. So now we're sitting in the house of God, and now the khatib is going to address us. Millions of hujjaj, many nations, tell us what Islam needs. How do we take on the enemies? You know what the khatib told us? He told us not to come to the masjid if we've eaten garlic. Do you really think that halitosis is the biggest problem of the Islamic ummah? This kind of an opportunity. But so if we don't connect the dots, if there's no even request to connect the dots, it's okay if Islam has nothing to do with now. That's a tragedy. So when we see that our youth have understood this, and they're chanting this, and they're saying this, we should consider this, inshallah, a big victory. Why do things like this happen? Why is it that the Muslims are in the currents, as strong as we are, with the potential of the teachings of Aba Abdullah, which literally, even when you hear others who are outside of tashayyu, just reciting the words and the lessons of Aba Abdullah, literally the hair on your skin stands. Others, even if they're what a powerful, unifying message. Why is it with a message like this, with a commemoration like this, if it's not done right, that you still see so much oppression in the Islamic world? We talked about this, I believe this was yesterday, about the two traits that the followers, you and I, the followers of the wali of the time, have to have if we want to get rid of the problems that are there in the world. The two traits we have to have. Developing revolutionary patience was one of those traits. Otherwise, then this misery will continue. Allah will make Islam victorious when we're ready. I'm sure many of you have been watching the news, following the news like myself. And you remember that story of a tragic story that happened recently. There was a young lady named Gabby Patino, if I've pronounced her name properly. Tragic story, where this young lady lost her life, and you could see that the world was outraged. And although as Muslims, we don't agree with her traveling with her boyfriend, we don't agree with that, her fiance, we don't agree with that, but still, as human beings, we can feel how those parents felt. There's no answers. Where is Gabby? Candlelight gatherings. We could understand that. But I'll ask you a question. Just before that, you and I watched where a family lost 9 individuals with a drone strike. Now, with Gabby, then there's a manhunt, and we're up. This is crazy. This is so wrong. How are they even? Are they soulless for not to? But then, imagine the outrage. If someone had done a drone strike in America and killed 7 children, 9 family members. Why is this double standard? Why is it that their lives just don't matter? With the passing The U.S. military, for the first time in a long time, it apologized. Apologized? No manhunt? No, not at least fire somebody? No. Why do these kind of oppressions happen? Back to our lesson. That lesson, that trait that we're supposed to acquire in order to liberate the globe. So, what we want to remind ourselves of is that this trait brings victory. This is from a middle mu'minin. Salawat, please. The Imam says this, As-sabru kafilun bil-dhafar. If you have revolutionary patience, it guarantees victory. You'll make it. You'll win. You'll overcome. You might be up against the tawaghit of your time, but with proactive patience, revolutionary patience, as prescribed by Ahlul Bayt, victory is on the side of the oppressed. Even now, but the tawaghit are so advanced. They know so many things. On Wednesday, inshallah, you'll see an example of what happens if we practice proactive patience. If Allah gives life to our Sheikh Zakzaki, on Wednesday, he's going to go over and have an interview. And you and I will witness how, even if you don't have weapons, Nigeria, the giant of Africa, support of Israel, and the Sheikh is liberated on Ghadir. Allah does this. God is on the side of the mu'mineen when they have this proactive patience. So you see, there are members of this ummah which have taken on these lessons, and they make miracles happen. Remember, just recently, so you guys remember this, on the 10th of Muharram, remember when Hezbollah announced that they were going to be bringing diesel? They were going to break the siege. And the Yazidis and the Shimmers, they announced it was on the 10th of Muharram. They weren't hiding. What a statement. And then they said there wasn't one ship. These are ships that are coming. Inshallah, the second will arrive soon. What a statement. What can the sons and daughters of Imam Khomeini do if they have revolutionary patience? It reminds me of those legends we heard in the past. Remember the story of when Sayyidu Shuhada Hamza, when he accepted Islam? It was a statement also. If you remember, when he announced his Islam, what happened was that Abu Jahl, who in our hadith was the Fir'aun of that ummah at that time, Abu Jahl, he insulted our prophet. And when Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada heard this, he went directly over to Abu Jahl, the Fir'aun of the ummah. He was in a gathering. He took his bow and he crushed him on the head with the bow. Not only that, he then picked him up and body slammed him in the gathering. And the people around Abu Jahl, they said, well, what are we going to do? Abu Jahl told them to stand down. They asked Hamza, they say, are you a Muslim? Hamza said, Naam, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So it gives us an idea, because these aren't just stories for us. We're seeing the modern day applications. We're seeing the victories if we resist. I want to share another, because remember, we're working on trying to acquire this trait. One of the ways of the Ahlul Bayt, the school of the Ahlul Bayt, for helping us to acquire these traits is for you and I to read over the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt that talk about what happens if we acquire these traits. So we're reading over some of these ahadith. One of them, it guarantees victory. Another one is this. If we're patient in the midst of calamity and struggle, difficulty, because we said there are many personal applications to these things. It's not only when we're liberating the globe. In our personal lives, there's so many instances where we can be patient and experience Allah's best. What happens if we're patient? I'm going to mention the hadith of the Imam. What the Imam mentions to us, he tells us this: sometimes your difficulty is not just about you. If you're patient, God's going to present opportunities. Not only will you resolve that one problem that you're dealing with, there'll be other opportunities that you'll be availed. It reminds me so much of what we heard from Qasim Soleimani Shahid, the opportunity that's there in the time of crisis. But let's listen to the words of Amirul Mu'mineen, and then after that, inshallah, an example. The Imam says this: As-sabru ala al-mawad. So if we can be patient in the midst of our difficulties, he says, yu'addi ila isabatil fursa. It's going to bring us to these incredible, unprecedented opportunities. If we can just be patient for the first, during that difficulty, not give in, continue to resist, do our Islamic responsibility. I want to give an example in child rearing. Alhamdulillah, here in the Hadi family, we've been blessed to have a lot of small children who are the future of this ummah. The most valuable, the most vulnerable, inshallah, better stage of iman than ourselves, young children, small children. One of the things that we find in the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt is encouragement for you and I to allow our children to be free for the first 7 years. Especially the first 3 to 4 years. We want to try to make sure unnecessarily that we're not giving commands, orders, right? Of course, we're teaching them during the first 7 years. We're also teaching them the adab of Islam. They learn Islamic social etiquette. We know that we're not allowed to allow them to do things that are dangerous for them. We know that, right? There are some limits to it, but in general, unnecessarily, when it's only my interest as an adult that's in danger, I don't want to prevent them unnecessarily from being free. So for instance, let's say we have a child who's 1 or 2 years old. Children, when they're really small, 1 or 2 years old, they like to play with their food. Some parents, no, that's dirty. Right? The finger like this. No, stop. What happens if we allow them? Remember the hadith of the Imam. And I'm giving an example of child rearing, but brothers and sisters, each and every one of us, because we're going through opportunities to serve God, situations where we can exercise revolutionary patience, we can see the results. There's opportunity out there. I'm giving one example. So what happens is, if we can be patient in these times and allow those children to play with their food, allow them to be free, allow them to play, what happens? What are the benefits? If we can be patient during the difficulty, what do we get? Because the Imam said that if we do this, there's going to be unprecedented opportunity. Instead of us controlling our children, let's make our houses child-friendly. Children, when they're real small, they like to play with books. They like to make noise. Let me make my house such as child-friendly. I'll put books that if they get them, if they tear them, it's not a big deal. I'll make the house child-friendly. Why go over and stop the child from what we call in Farsi their fitri needs? If we can let them do that, because the Imam, this is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, Da ibnaka yal'ab sab'a sinin. Let your child play for the first 7 years. The Imam Qadhim says this, he says, it's recommended, it's good if children are naughty in the first 7 years. Instead of me thinking that that's bad, I need to control that, I need to get rid of it. The Imam says that tustahabbu aramatul ghulam. It's good. He says, if that happens when they're small, liyakuna haliman fi kibareh. later on, if we let it play out, they'll be halim and forbearant when they're older. Opportunity. So what happens? Let's say I'm not patient for these first 7 years. Instead of doing it the way the Ahlul Bayt have said it, I'm going to control. I'm going to fight against the fitri need of my children. What happens? One of them is this need to be free can demonstrate itself after 7 years, but then it's mischief and delinquency. I didn't let it play out when it was supposed to. It comes out later, but now it's not the naughtiness of a child. Now it's mischief. It can lead to children being so stubborn. What happened was, this was an opportunity for me to grant my child their fitri needs, create a closer bond between me as the parent and the child. The children either, they fight back. Some children are strong-willed. They fight back because their fitra knows I'm supposed to be free. They fight back. I'm trying to control them. The child resists and the child breaks me as the parent. Then the child learns, I've got to fight for my rights. Mommy or daddy is the enemy. They learn to be stubborn, to fight for their rights. Or the other thing that we learn from our scholars is this, or I break the children. And now they don't. They sit quietly in a corner and they do what I say. Childhood depression. Imam Khomeini said, if you ever see a child just sitting in a corner, just quiet, obedient, doesn't say anything, not bouncing off the walls, something wrong. It also creates cowardice. We're trying to raise the soldiers of the Imam of the time by breaking their will. We're making them cowards. Instead of being able to be strong, to resist, to stand for what they want, I, as the parent, trained my children to be weaklings. Also, I can kill some of their good interests. I mentioned the idea that children like to play with their food when they're young, 1 or 2 years old. When I fight that, later on we see that these children are poor eaters. I don't like eating. I didn't enjoy it. Why is it you don't like to read now? Because people are always snatching the book from me, shouting when I would. Now I don't like reading. I destroy good interests by doing that. But let's say I followed the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, and during that time, I was patient on that difficulty. I did it the way God said. What are those unprecedented opportunities that will present themselves? I'm going to mention the hadith of the Imam. If we do it right, our children for the next 7 years will be so obedient. You see, the next 7 years are times when you and I need our children to be able to listen to us instead of it being a fight. What did I do? I did it the wrong way. I imposed my will. Now for the second 7 years, now it's a war. When I say do this, that why? If you do it the right way, they listen. It's like a miracle. The same kid who was so free before, listen to the words of the Ahlul Bayt. The Imam says this, Imam Ali says, he says that you leave the child for 7 years, you adab sab'a. The next 7 years is not that you do ta'dib. The child becomes mu'addab. Instead of you fighting over, don't do this, because you've taken care of those. Now, daddy thinks that's not a good idea. We need this for doing tarbiyah of the children. We destroy the opportunity by not being patient. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that if we weren't doing that, let's say I wasn't a perfect parent, I didn't know all of the hadith of Ahlul Bayt, my children are now not, then I just throw my hands in the air. No, no, now is an opportunity for proactive patience, as Imam Sajjad taught us. Ya mubaddil as-sayyi'at bi'adhafiha min al-hasanat. God is the one who changes misdeeds, sayyi'at, into multiple good deeds. The taklif is different. I have to find out, what did the Ahlul Bayt say? How do we correct what we did wrong? But this was just an opportunity or an idea. What happens is, if we can have that proactive patience, the Imam again gives us, he says this, halawatul dhafar, the sweetness of victory, when you do it the right way. When you're patient, he says, tamhu mararata sabr. Later on, it'll wipe away the bitterness of being patient. You have to go through it for a little while. You have to push. Sabaru ayyaman qasira. They're patient for a few short days. And after that, the victory, the Imam says, it wipes away the bitterness of that patience. So you and I as believers, what Islam teaches us is that actually we're expecting to be tested. From an Islamic point of view, you look in the books of Akhlaq, they tell us, if we don't have any bala, there's something wrong. If I don't have any test, they said once our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salawat please. Was invited to a man's house. A man invited the Prophet for a meal. He said, when I came to the Prophet came to the man's house, there was a chicken, the guy had a chicken, and it laid an egg, it was on a wall, it laid an egg. And when the egg was laid, it rolled down the wall and it landed on a nail in the yard. And it just stood there. It didn't crack, it didn't roll over, it didn't get smashed, it just stood there. And the Prophet just saw it. He looked at the guy and the guy was like, are you a little surprised? He said, yeah, I'm surprised. He said, we never have bala. When the Prophet heard that, he got up and left. He didn't even have the meal. He says, man lam yuzra, if somebody doesn't have affliction, fama lillahi fiha min haja. God has no need for that person. There's something wrong. There's no test. There's something wrong. So as a believer, what happens is we do get tested. The idea is, how do I manage these opportunities that Allah has put in my life, whether I was a person who caused them, or whether right now I didn't cause them, I'm working through them. Each one of these represent opportunities for me to get closer to God. We read the hadith of Imam Sajjad earlier. So one of the things that helps us when we're trying to exercise revolutionary patience is to remember that when things look the darkest, when it looks like nothing's happening, we're not winning, we're pushing, nothing's changing. In these times of darkness, God has gone to work. He's working behind the scenes. It might seem on my side that I'm exercising revolutionary patience. I'm doing my responsibility. I'm producing at a high level. But I'm not seeing the results that I'd like to see. Does that mean behind the scenes, God's not working? No, God's working. We learn this from the ayat of the Quran. There is never an effort made by the believer that's wasted. God, remember the story of Nabi Yusuf? And so many ups and downs. If you remember, I'm going to bring you one part of the verse. So Nabi Yusuf goes over and he, think about it, if you and I have been writing his story, would we have wanted to be Yusuf, if we were writing the story, would we have wanted Yusuf to be handsome or to be ugly or average even? We'd want him to be handsome. But then if we thought about it, we're like, but if he's handsome, and he's beloved by his father, his brothers are very jealous. We would have probably said, well, look, let's protect. His brothers will kill him. We would probably changed our mind. You know what? Let's not make him so beloved. Let's not make him so handsome. But Allah chose both. He was so beloved. His brothers kidnapped the son of a prophet. After that, they go over and they put him in that well. After whatever beating, they drop him in that well. Again, if you and I were writing the story, we would think, well, you know, he's not that far from Nabi Yaqub. Let's send somebody, a family member, somebody, to bring him back to his family. Allah sends somebody who's going the other direction. They take him, they hide him. He goes over to the house. Of who? Someone who has taqwa over there in Egypt? No, they don't have any taqwa. The wife is a terrible person. At least if he had taqwa, maybe he survive over there. He tries to do the right thing. The wife comes after him. But you know what God does when he tells this story?
The opposite of what you and I would have written if we weren't. But big picture, God sees. God says this, that Allah is غالبٌ على أمره. Allah has complete control over. The will of God is unstoppable. You do your responsibility. God's working. It seems like there's nothing. Allah's moving. The other one that we should keep in mind when we want to exercise proactive patience is that divine help comes to the extent that we need it. What do we tell ourselves when we're in the middle of bala? Do we tell ourselves, I can't make it. I'm gonna crack. My mind is cracking. I can't take this anymore. Or do I repeat those words of Allah in the Quran? La yukallaf Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. I remember one person, he was going through a lot of bala. And then I was watching a situation as it got so much more complicated. And each time he was like, well, I guess I must have more ability. What's the promise of the Ahlul Bayt? Imam Ali says this, ala qadr al-ma'una, based on how difficult your situation is, takunu min Allah al-ma'una. That divine help is based on how difficult the situation is. So now, let's think about this, because we want to acquire this wonderful trait, right? No matter what we've done in the past, we believe we can still experience Allah's best. Allah is with the patient. Inna Allah ma'as-sabirin. God, the Lord of the universe, is on the side of the patient. So no matter what my situation is, the idea of feeling outnumbered, overwhelmed, too many of the enemy, too many mistakes, my past doesn't matter to God. My financial, what degrees, none of that. My gender is stopping me. They are racist. God on the side of the sabirin. So what we want to do is to make sure that we have those true characteristics, because there were some things we were supposed to do. I'm going to say the first one very briefly. The first one is iman, because sometimes when we're going through bala, we're going through difficulty, we learn from the ayat of the Quran, God is trying to teach us something. There are some people who, when they go through a bala, they start thinking, what is it that God's trying to teach me? What is he trying to show me? And God will show us if we're looking. What they say about iman is this. One, intellectual conviction. Number two, in Islam, iman requires action. Number three, I have to embrace all of Islam. There can't be any parts of my heart. Brothers and sisters, you know one difficulty that some of us face is doing al-amr bil ma'ruf and nahy anil munkar. For some of us, it's easy to practice Islam, to do Islam, but one part of Islam is having that inner strength. Somebody else is not doing what Allah says. Very gently, very kindly, brother, sister, Allah doesn't like. Sometimes God wants to teach me, wants to, you lack in this area. There's no picking and choosing with Islam. I need that inner strength. So those are the three conditions. After that, what happens is, in order for us to consider ourselves people of patience, there's certain traits that we're supposed to have. Am I a person of patience? I might think I'm suffering in this bala. I'm quiet. I pray. I'm making dua. Is it the case that what I think is sabr according to Islam? In Islam, sabr has three conditions. Our Prophet has told us. He says, "Alamatu sabr fi thalath." There's three conditions. If we have them, then we're considered patient from an Islamic point of view. The first one, the Prophet says, is that I don't get lazy. I've been at it for a long time. I continue to do my responsibility. I don't get lazy. Number two, the Prophet explains that we're not supposed to get tired.
can never be that I've been at it so long that I'm tired. And number three is that my relationship with God shouldn't get bitter. Each one of these have a bit of an explanation, the rest of the hadith. The Prophet says this. He says that those people who are lazy, there are certain huquq, rights, that they don't fulfill. I stop doing my Islamic responsibility when I get lazy. I have certain responsibilities. Let's say I'm in a situation where I help build the monster. Am I doing everything that's in my power to fix the situation? Or have I settled? My spouse will always be like this. My situation, well, whatever it is, my situation, right? I've settled. That's not what the Prophet said. I'm working, I'm pushing, I'm changing. If there's an outside person I have to bring there, whatever it is, I'm doing my responsibility. Number two, the Prophet says that if we get tired, he says we stop giving thanks. What happens is sometimes, because I forget that it's God who's running the world and my situation, I focus on the person I'm dealing with. Let's say my husband is the person who is a challenge. He's an imperfect spouse. Maybe it's my children, whatever the thing is. The Prophet says the person no longer gives thanks. So instead of me seeing the good in my spouse, I'm receiving blessings from Allah through my spouse, through my parents, through my children. Do I see them only as the problem? Do I see the good in my situation? The Prophet tells us. And then the other one, of course, is the idea of God forbid, when the person actually does become bitter towards Allah. I'm doing my responsibility. If I had faith, if I had iman. So, inshallah, Allah helps us to not do that. Inshallah, what we want to do now is, inshallah, go to Karbala and hopefully to shed some tears for Imam Hussein. Imam Ridha has promised us. He says, Imbakaita alal Hussein. If Allah gives us the tawfiq, if we're able to cry for the Imam, he says, until tears roll down our cheeks, Ghafarallahu laka kulla dhanbin adhnabta. God will forgive us any sin that we've ever committed. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fana'ik. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر الأهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين صلوا على محمد وعلى
صلى على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ثانية على حب الزهراء صلوا على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد ثالثة لتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان صلوا على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة موضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, our beloved Holy Prophet, and the Ahlul Bayt. It was in your homes that Allah blessed us with guidance and revelation. And upon you descend the angels day in and day out. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Sallallahu alayka ya Madloom. Sallallahu alayka ya Ayyuha Shaheed fi Karbala. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, our beloved Imam al-Husayn, our beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates, while his mouth was dry of thirst. For those who wish to ensure their reward, your bodies will not the hellfire touch. Today establish your intention, even from afar, that visiting Hussein indeed you are. The millions who go to you fulfill the promise of loyalty. Crazy they are for you, they march to your royalty. Like a fearless wave they move, old and young all for you. In the desert we'll walk too, for you prove, we'll always be with the truth. Let us go to Kufa. A man named Muslim al-Jassas was a worker for Ibn Ziyad. He narrates, I was painting the walls and plastering them when I heard an uproar in Kufa. I asked someone, what is this noise? They said, there are some foreigners who rose against Yazid bin Muawiyah and they were killed, and now their women have been brought as prisoners. I went there to see what was happening. To my astonishment and shock, I saw Imam al-Sajjad tied in chains and blood coming from his neck, and he was calling out to the people, oh people of Kufa, you are the ones who have called us and you have now betrayed us. Oh people of Kufa, Hussein has been killed near the Euphrates thirsty. What will you answer Rasulullah on the day of judgment? He said, I went a little more forward. I saw some women giving food and bread to the young children who were on the camels and the horses. He said, there was a lady there named Kulthum saying, Ya Ahl al-Kufa, Inna al-Sadaqa haram alayna. O people of Kufa, do you not know that Sadaqa is haram for us? Do not give food to these children. They are from Anim Muhammad. She was letting them know that we are Ali Muhammad. You have imprisoned us and called us foreigners this day. I went a little forward. I saw a man holding a head on a spear, and this head was shining like the moon. I asked, whose head is this? I was told, this is the head of Hussein. There was Quran being recited from that head.
The man holding the spear was shamelessly declaring, "We have killed Hussein. We have killed the enemies of Islam." There was a lady behind the head. He asks who that lady is. He is told, "This is Zainab." Zainab was saying, "Oh man, do not say that you killed the enemy of Islam. It is more right for you to say that you have killed him whom Jibra'il used to rock his cradle. You have killed him whose servants were Mika'il and Israfil. It is more right that you should say, 'Ana qatilu Rasulullah, ana qatilu Aliyin al-Murtada, ana qatilu Fatimat al-Zahra, ana qatilu Hasan al-Mujtaba.'" You should say, "I'm the one who killed Rasulullah. I have killed Ali and Fatima. I have killed Hasan al-Mujtaba. أنا قاتل الأئمة الهدى. أنا قاتل ملائكة السماء." Your right is to say that you have killed the rightly guided imams and the angels in the heavens. He says the whole group of the prisoners were then taken into the court of Ibn Ziyad. When they were presented to him, Ibn Ziyad was shamelessly saying, "Who is this woman? And whose daughter is this? And whose daughter is this?" And so on and so forth. Then he came to Imam Sajjad and said, "Who is this young man?" He is told, "This is Ali, the son of Hussein." He says to Imam Sajjad, "I was told Ali, the son of Hussein, was already killed." Imam Sajjad said, "I have another brother by the name of Ali whom your people killed." Ibn Ziyad says to him, "It is not the people who killed your brother. It was Allah who killed your brother." The Imam said, "Indeed, Allah takes the soul at the time of one's death, but it is you who killed him." Ibn Ziyad is annoyed when he hears this. He then says, "Kill this man as well." Zainab comes between them and says, "Ibn Ziyad, have you not spilled enough blood from our family already? Now let us go to Sham, let us go to Damascus." A woman came to him, the wife of Yazid. She said, "Some captives came and I don't know who they are. Perhaps you would go see them and put on her best clothes and prepare to visit them after Maghrib prayer." She was a servant of the Ahl al-Bayt for years, and she loved and respected them dearly, as she had only seen the best manners, the highest values and utmost kindness and respect from them. When she arrived to the captive, she sat next to a lady she didn't recognize and asked her, "Why have you put your head down?" The lady didn't answer. She said, "My sister, where are you from?" The lady said, "From Medina," and came down from her chair and said, "Peace be upon the one who resides in Medina. Peace be upon Rasulullah." The lady said, "Why have you come down from your chair?" And then said, "For the one who resides in Medina, I want to ask you, my sister, about a house in Medina." The lady said, "Ask what you wish." And then said, "I ask you of the house of Ali ibn Abi Talib, for I was a servant in his home." The lady said, "What do you wish to ask?" And replied, "I ask you about Hussein, his siblings and his children, and the remainder of the children of Ali. And I ask you about Zainab and about Kulthum. womb, and the women of my lady Fatima. The lady began to cry and said, Ya hand, you ask about the household of Ali, for we have left it to mourn its inhabitants. If you ask about Hussein, his head is with Yazid. If you ask about the children of Ali, for they have all been massacred in the desert and without any heads. If you ask about Zayn al-Abidin, for he is severely ill and can barely move. And as for your question about Zainab, I am Zainab. And these are the women of Fatima. When Hen heard this, she burst into tears and began to mourn the Imam. My Imam, Ya Allah, Ya Hussein. I wish I were blind and never witnessed the day the women of Fatima would be seen like this. In Damascus, Zainab's star shines, the glorious daughter of Ali, who has nursed humanity from Karbala throughout times. Humanity sings peace and joy together to everyone who seems still in love, to see the trees of truth bloom forever and the world of oppression one day free. The times of this world will become rough. Remain steadfast and don't ever give up. The Mahdi will need you when the going gets tough, and only the sincere will drink from Muhammad's cup. And only the sincere will drink from Muhammad's cup. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا على بيت محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. To Allah we belong and to Him is our return, and soon the aggressors will know what change their affairs will take, and then times will be for the righteous. Ya Allah, in the name of Hussein our Lord we ask you, and his mother and father and brother too, and his nine descendants whom we all ask you through. Hasten the reappearance of the awaited but awaiting Hussein of our time, the Mahdi. Bless us with his content, with our actions, our God Almighty. Grant us good health, safety, and prosperity, and the preparation to defend our Imam's sanctity. Make victorious those who defend the religion from every enemy. Bless those who revive the cause of Hussein, for there is remedy. Forgive our sins, strengthen our wills, and rest in peace our dead. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا أبا عبد الله يا حسين ابن علي أيها الشهيد يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. This is where lovers dwell, in every breath we yell, our death and farewell, Hussein Thar Allah. This is where lovers dwell, in every breath we yell, our death and farewell, Hussein Thar Allah. This is where lovers dwell, in every breath we yell, our death and farewell, Hussein Allah. I said, wake up Ruqayya, let us go to Medina. But she would not reply back, Hussein Thar Allah. Your children's tears flow, your Zainab tells them go, in chains we will walk home, Hussein Thar Allah. Arrows in your allies, spears and swords alike, upon your sands you rise, Hussein Thar Allah. If your love is the night, let the sun never rise, our eyes set alight, Hussein Thar Allah. This is where lovers dwell, in every breath we yell, our death and farewell, Hussein Thar Allah. Hussein kullul hayat, Hussein ba'd al-mamat, Hussein ramzul ubat, Hussein Thar Allah. A'ad shanan hawa, ala harri thara, faman yasqi al-wara, ghadan yawm al-hisab. أضبح العاديات على صدر الوبات أيهم نعم فرات به نزل الكتاب أما قد عارفوا أما قد ناسبوا بلى بل كذبوا فويل من عذاب على حر اللظى حسين قد قضى وعطشانا مضى حسين ثار الله. This is where lovers dwell, in every breath we yell, our death and farewell, Hussein Thar Allah. They say your paths have closed, I am lost and alone, so now where will we go, if not your shrine, Hussein, if not your shrine, Hussein. Who will hear my cries, and from our tear-filled eyes, we will once again rise, for your love, O Hussein, for your love, O Hussein. In this sea I dive, I'll die yet feel alive, every dying breath I thrive. Hussein, our hearts beat for you. Every step is for you. We call and cry to you. Hussein Tharallah. Our hearts beat for you. Every step is for you. We call and cry to you. Hussein Tharallah. This is where lovers dwell. In every breath we yell our death and farewell. Hussein Tharallah. This is where lovers dwell. In every breath we yell our death and farewell. Hussein Tharallah. Hussein Tharallah. Hussein Tharallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. Everyone together. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Brothers and sisters, may Allah magnify your rewards. Inshallah, please join us tomorrow. Inshallah, the program will start with Salat al-Maghrib, Maghrib and Isha, Ma'al Jama'ah, inshallah, at 7:45, and then the program will start around 8:10, inshallah, right after that. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
بين الحرمين هلون هلون فكربلا جموني بين الحرمين السنة السنة As soon as I reach you I'll wail and beseech you بين الحرمين so dark